Oh, yes. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. We've had a biblically correct moment this morning. Dance, sing, praise, timbrel, harp, interpretation, guitars, piano. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Man shall not live by McDonald's alone. Yeah. Just the thought of that. But we get to dine at His table, feast at His table. There's a special blessing that comes when we're corporately together in worship, and there's a strength, and it's important. But it's the day-to-day walk, isn't it? It's about being connected and stay connected to the Lord throughout your day. As your days, so shall be your strength. You know, the Lord is going to take care of us as we continue in Him. Our responsibility is to continue in Him. You know, He's there. He doesn't move. Amen. We're the ones that move away from Him. And He waits for us to draw near, to, you know, to come back, to return to the Lord. So God bless you. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time today. And, you know, the Lord knows that we need it. We need refreshing. We need the joy of the Lord in our lives. Amen. It's our strength. I say this a lot, but it's so true that joy equals strength. You know, the joy of the Lord equals strength. And it begins with this word, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, gratitude. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. So out of a heart of gratitude, we then have an authentic praise, amen, to God. And praise draws His attention. Come on, somebody. Yeah. He inhabits the praises of His people. Yeah. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. You receive that? Or? So it begins, folks, with a thankful heart. We remember the cross. We remember what the Lord has done for us. You know, and we join Him there. We say, Lord, based upon everything, Romans 12, what You have done for me, I now offer myself, my body, back to You as a living sacrifice. My life is no longer my own. I've been purchased. Amen. I've been bought off the slave block. I've been let out of prison free. Amen. And now I join myself with Jesus in His mission, even bearing the reproach that comes with His name. Amen. In this world, because if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And that means sometimes it's going to get rough. It's going to get difficult. And you're absolutely right. Tribulation, persecution, it's coming. And that's not to scare us. It's to prepare us. And that's why we should be gluttons for His presence, because God packs our lunch before the journey. Sometimes we're like, oh, gosh, I forgot my lunch. You know, but, you know, God gives us opportunities to dine. And you ever notice there's certain times when God is drawing your heart? And if you respond, there's going to be strength imparted. There's going to be sustenance. There's going to be nourishment, spiritual nourishment. But there's also times when God is drawing our hearts and we are not listening. And in those times when the devil has talked us out of something that God is offering to us that we need, those are the times where He also knows where your weaknesses are, where you're vulnerable, and that's the very place He's going to hit you. How many times I've seen it where I've preached a sermon, actually, and it was for somebody that hadn't been there for some reason that day, hadn't been at church, and then that very week they get slammed with the very thing that we were talking about, because the Holy Spirit was actually delivering. Yep. Amen? And so we've got to understand the importance of daily fellowship with the Lord, corporate gathering together. Let us not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. And then also our personal intimacy, our walk with the Lord, which is, you don't have to, amen, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that. I mean, in this church, people know it's more than a building. Amen. Especially when you look around this building, see, it's definitely got to be more in this building. Yeah. I know years ago people used to build these beautiful, you know, cathedrals, and they're beautiful to look at. But I think so often they worship the building. You know, it became the object or the institution became the object of worship rather than the Lord. Amen. I'm not against having organization. Organization is important for effectiveness. Working together, cooperating together, we can do more when we're united in the common purpose, right? In strategy, as God gives. But we should never worship the organization. There are some people that are so, I'm Assembly of God, I'm Church of God, I'm Baptist. And that seems to be their God, you know, and they've totally missed it. It's not about those things. That's simply a tool, amen, that we can use. To organize and come together and have a greater impact. How many would agree that we can accomplish more in numbers than we can by just our individual selves? Amen. And we saw that even on Friday night. I got a chance to slip away from prayer and come down to Crazy Faith. And it was just awesome to see what God is doing. Amen. And the joy of the Lord in knowing that you're doing what Jesus called you to do. And he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. So think about it that way, right? We're actually blessing the Lord when we bless his people, right? And we bless people who we see. So anyways, God is doing something. It's amazing. We're just kind of like watching a lot of what's happening, because if we can get folks to really pursue God's heart, to seek his face, and to listen to his voice, then what will happen is they will receive a vision from God. They will receive direction, amen, and instruction from God. And God will say, this is what I'm asking you to do. And then it's our responsibility to say yes and obey him in that. Even if it's a little thing, but just being faithful to obey him in that. And then what happens is the kingdom of God is expanded, because individuals that make up this kingdom are being obedient to the heavenly vision that God gives them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're seeing a panoramic view of everything, but it means that God puts in your heart a desire even, a will to do of his good pleasure. And so what God is doing, it's like there's this the flower that's starting to open up, and there are different petals and different expressions of the glory of that. You know, and it's the body of Christ just opening and expanding and becoming, you know, understanding who they are and how we all work together, you know, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As our spiritual act of worship, of giving ourselves back to him in gratitude and saying, Lord, what can I do for you now? How can I love you back? How can I serve you? How can I bless your day, if you will? I want to please the Lord. And you know, it's very much biblical to please the Lord. Some people, I've heard him preach against that, but actually Jesus said, I only do what pleases the Father. So we want to be just like Jesus. Amen. I'm going to continue on the theme of worship. What is true worship and drawing near to God in worship? You know, a lot of times, and I've said this before, you've heard it, but we think worshiping God is just singing songs in church. And that is a part of it, but only a part of it. Worship is really the multiple of expressions, the multiplicity of expressions of God's from God's people. You know, it's us loving God back. That's worshiping God. It's not doing some ritual or going through some routine on Sunday morning or Saturday, depending on what persuasion people are of. But it's a life that is devoted to Christ. It is a life that pursues God. David was known as a man after God's heart, and David was a worshiper. David sang. David, you know, danced. He served the Lord. He loved the Lord. He created all these instruments, you know, and some of which are actually still in existence today in the Middle East. But David was just a man who pursued God's heart. He wanted to please God. He wanted to know God. And I can remember growing up learning about God. you know, and having some information about who God is, but really not knowing God. And if all we have is information about God, then we're still in death. And there are many people who have information, knowledge of God, but they don't have God because they don't know God. They're actually still in death. And Jesus says you must worship the Father in spirit and truth. There must be a union of the Spirit of God with our spirit, the spirit of man. And the two, as in marriage, become one. They become one. And so, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the message and we get the invitation to respond. But you don't respond to a king when you feel like it. If a king is summoning you, that's the time that you respond and you say, yes, yes, sir. Amen. And you immediately respond to the summons. You can be in trouble. Amen. If you're summoned to, let's just say if you get called to jury duty and you say, I just don't feel like it today. Well, you can get in trouble for that. Amen. If you're called to serve in some capacity and it's not your choice. Amen. You've been called by a higher authority. God is the ultimate authority and he's the King of Kings and he summons people to his courts above. He summons us into his presence. And we have the privilege, and it is a joy and an honor to be called into the king's chambers. Amen? Into his very presence, into his throne room. It's not something to be taken lightly, but it is something that we need to be mindful of, and that when God is calling us and when he's drawing you, that's the time that you need to respond to him, because Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father's drawing him. And if you hear his voice today, then it's time today to respond, because people are ignoring that voice and they think they can come to God when they want, however they want. But that's not how it works. It's when God is summoning you to his presence to pray, to intercede, whatever it might be, to obey his voice, to obey his commandments. It's yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Not one of these days I'll get to it. When I'm done doing what I want to do, I'll have a little spare change left at the end of my days. Amen. I'll give that to God. How many know that rarely happens? And we don't even know if we've got that time. But I do know this, that walking in the Spirit is a right now thing. It's a daily thing. It's a listening to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I know them, he says. And I want to know him. I didn't want to just learn and get more information about God. I want to really know the Lord. I want to know his voice. I want to know the joy of fellowship with him in the Spirit. And to be able to walk daily with my Lord, my Master. And life is good in the God zone. Worship is from the heart. It's not from the head. Worship is singing. Yes, it's praying, it's interceding. Worship is giving thanks and praise in the Spirit. Worship is obedience to God. Worship is you and I giving ourselves, amen, to others, serving others. Worship is sharing with others what we have received. As we minister to people, we're ministering to God, you see. Worship is a whole life committed back, given back to God. Offered back freely to say, God, here am I, send me. When we worship the God, when we are truly worshipers of God, we receive this thing that we all hear so much about and we so desire. It's called favor. Favor, to have a favored place with God. To not just be a servant, to be called a son, to be a friend of God. Jesus shares with his friends even the secrets, you know. You have that relationship where it goes beyond just being a servant to being a friend of God. Hallelujah. Friendship with God. And so Proverbs 16:15 says, in the light of the king's face is life. And his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. When God is favoring you, there's a refreshing for you in that place. Amen? You are blessed to be able to come into His presence. You can't come into God's presence and not be touched and not be changed and not be blessed. Even if there's a correction, it's always for the purpose of building up and not destroying. That's God's nature. His heart is redemptive. His heart is to save, to heal, to restore, to make new. That's our God, the one we serve. And so when we talk about favor, we're not talking about a life without problems. You know, I understand what people mean by this, but often people will say, the Lord's been good to me. Well, you know, the fact is, the Lord has been good to everybody. Even unbelievers, God has been good to. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And so when we say that, we should say, well, the Lord is good. Amen. And He's good to me, you know. But it's not like, well, because life has been going the way I want it to go, God's been good to me. Because sometimes your life can be going the way you want it to go, but it's not the way that God wants it to go. And so we sometimes consider that a favored position, because life is going the way I want it to go. Come on, somebody. Everything is smooth. Everything's going my way. Whistle while you work. You know, we have those moments. We have those days. But sometimes we can be out of the will and yet at the same time, you know, be living in an easy place. As a matter of fact, sometimes being in the will is a difficult place. Somebody say amen. Because there'll be opposition. So if everything is always going your way, it may be that the devil's just leaving you alone because he's already got you. I'm not saying that we need to live in an expectation of misery, because you know, the psalmist said in Psalms 23, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We should expect goodness and mercy to follow us, amen, as we abide in Him. But favor means that God is smiling on your life and He said, I know you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're special to me. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. But in the problems, we have someone with us and for us, and who is greater than the problem. And He will bring us through the waters. He'll bring us through the fire to where we won't even be burned. He's able to do it. You remember the man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? It says in chapter 10, verse 2, he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He gave alms generously and prayed to God always. What does that mean? It means he had a relationship with the Lord. Amen. And he had his family in order. He was priest of his home. And he prayed always. And as a, you know, he had favor. It got God's attention because these things came up before the Lord as a memorial, it says in the King James. In verse 31, it says, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms or your giving are remembered in the sight of God. So never be weary in well-doing and blessing and serving and giving and sharing. That's an act of worship that God accepts, that God is pleased with, because it shows that you are being selfless, just like Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so we want to follow the example of our Lord and not be in it for what we get out of it, but what God gets out of it. What is Jesus going to get out of this? How can I say thank you for all that you've done for me? Remember that song? Things so undeserved, and yet you gave to prove your love for me. How can I say thanks? To God be the glory for the things He has done. Oh, hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord stood before him and he said this, you know what? You got God's attention. He sent me to talk to you. You know, when we are worshipers of God, we are intimate with God. We walk with God. We listen for His voice. And worshipers, those who pray and intercede in the Spirit, they're able to hear His voice more clearly. You spend some time with somebody, you get to know their voice. And then you begin to identify their voice amidst all the other voices that are crying out and screaming at you. Somebody say amen. Every day the enemy is busy trying to distract, trying to get us, you know, off doing the wrong thing, even good things, but not the right things. To choke us, to choke the life out of us. But life is in the will and purpose of God for you. And so through worship, we can follow the Lord. We can hear His voice. We can have visitations, heavenly visitations. We can receive all the grace we need in that place, amen, of intimacy, to do ministry. Because ministry is not a work that I do for God, but true ministry is God's Spirit working out of me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? It's not the fruit that I do for God. It's me in agreement with the Lord and being a yielded vessel for God to use and to work through. So the Spirit of God moves in us when we worship and even sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We do sing. Amen? Come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. These are very important that we live a life of praise and gratitude, and it brings joy and strength into our lives. And when we worship, what's actually happening is we're getting beyond ourselves. Are you hearing this today? The key is to get beyond ourself. We are our own worst enemy. My self-life rebels and fights and wants its own way, but the Spirit is willing within me. There's a cooperation that needs to take place. I have to be willing and yield myself to do the will of God, even when it goes contrary to what I want to do. And God will see that you are choosing Him and prioritizing Him and seeking Him first. And when God sees that, He says, now, guess what? I'm going to take care of your needs. I'm going to take care of the things that you have need of. Amen. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, those things are just going to be taken care of. If you're seeking your own way, well, God can't bless you in your own way. What He ordains and what He approves of, He already blesses. So we need to find out what He's saying, what He's doing, and get with Him. Walk with Him. That's where life is. Lord, where are we at today? Where are you at today? What are you doing right now? What are we doing together today? Because sometimes it's like Elijah, you know, and just moving ahead. And Elisha's like, oh, I ain't going anywhere without you. You know, come on, somebody. We got to be close to Jesus. We want to be following Him. Amen. Because sometimes like Jesus is getting up ahead of us and we're just kind of like back here smelling the roses or something, you know, and missing out on the bigger blessing. Sometimes we get into religious ruts where we just got used to doing something or going through some church routine or whatever, and we punch the clock at the door and we punch out, and that was my thing for the week, you know what I'm saying? And Jesus has left the building, but we're still in the building. Where He is life. Where I am, there my servant will be also. So we need to discover where He's at in our daily walk, in our life. And, you know, when you're out there and you're feeding people at Crazy Faith, you know, it's like Jesus is there. He's going to be where He told you to be. Question is are we where He told us to be? Or are we where we wanted to put ourselves? Well, I'll serve you, Lord, as long as it's in Hawaii on the beach. Speaking of Hawaii. I don't know, I had this vision of palm trees last night. That's what happened. So I feel led for the islands. But when we worship, we go deeper and deeper into the realms of the Holy Spirit as we worship. This morning, as we were tarrying, we were going a little extra mile, weren't we, today? And just giving praise to God. And did you notice that the atmosphere was just pregnant with God's life? He inhabits the praises of His people. And this is the problem, is sometimes we're not worshiping long enough and deep enough. We have a little outer court thing. We sing a few songs, clap hands. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And God is saying He's summoning us into His throne of His presence. Are you hearing me? He wants us to go deeper. Because in that deeper place is where you do receive visitations and vision and understanding and revelation from God, and where you get to know Him intimately and really know who the true God is in that place. You can't know God in the outer court. You have to get beyond the veil. You have to get into the holy place. Well, the truth of the matter is the veil has already been torn. It's already been opened, and we have been given access to the throne of grace. But sometimes, folks, there is opposition in getting into that place. And sometimes we just need to press in, and we need to be determined that I'm going to touch the hem of His garment. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to call on Him. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to wait on Him. Amen. Until God touches me and blesses me, just like Jacob had to wrestle with the angel. Amen. He wasn't going to let him go unless He blessed him. That's what we need to be. We need to be people that are persistent with God. We need to keep praying until we see the results of those prayers. David said in Psalms 84, in verse 1, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." You know, David knew something more, amen, than just the ark, if you will, and the temple and the building and all the trappings that went with it. David knew there was more than just that, amen, than just the building. He was seeking the very heart of God. "And blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." He's saying, I'm no longer a citizen of this world. My citizenship is in heaven, and I am pursuing the heart of my Father. I'm going somewhere, amen. I'm not here to camp out in this world and make this home, amen, and make this world heaven, because you may have a little bit of heaven here, but if you do, it's going to be from the Spirit of the Lord anyways, amen. But don't try to make this world heaven, because it's not, amen. We are in the training ground of eternity, the dressing room. We're getting equipped, we're getting prepared for eternity. And then he says, blessed is the man, verse 5, whose strength is in you, whose heart is set in pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca or weeping. They make it a spring. They turn that situation around. It may be a grievous thing, but God has a way of turning something grievous into something joyful. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He'll give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then it says the rains also cover it with pools. God has promised to those who are faithful that there will be times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. Are we not experiencing somewhat of a refreshing today? Do you know there's more? Do you know you can drink as much as you want at His table? He doesn't get upset. The wine flows freely. You can get happy as you want. Amen? Because God is not a stingy God. He is an overabundant God. He is an overflowing God. He wants our cup to be overflowing. Amen? We don't need to have a half full cup. Well, it depends on how you look at it, brother. It's either half full or half empty. How about an overflowing cup? That's what we want. Amen? Just be filled and overflowing with Jesus. And I don't care if people don't get me, because as long as we and Jesus are tight, that's all that matters. Amen. Because everybody's going to bow their knee to Him. Everybody's going to their tongue is going to confess Him as Lord. And today, I've decided to bow my knee. Today, I've decided to say yes to His will. Amen. To His purpose for my life. And I don't regret it, because I find that He sustains me. He nourishes me. He satisfies me. He strengthens me in that place of His will and His purpose for my life. And the same thing is true for all of us here. God has called every one of us. He's called us to be worshipers of Him. That means to follow Him, to love Him back, to give ourselves to Him. Amen? In every aspect of life, worship is obedience to God. It's obeying Him. It's not just singing, it's part of it. But we want to come before the Lord, because not only do we want to know Him and who He really is, but we want to discover what His will is, what His purpose is. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And how many have discovered that when you're in the will of God, you're satisfied? The lesser things, you don't care about the TV. You don't care about the party down the road. Man, there's a party in heaven that way far outweighs that. And God invites us into that place with Him. He sets a table before us where? In the presence of our enemies. They can't touch it. And they can't stop you from eating and drinking in His presence. They'll try to talk you out of it. Come on, the demons will try to talk you out of praise and worship and obedience and coming to church and being with God's people. Yeah, I said it, coming to church. Why did I say that? Because God says go to church. Jesus went to synagogue. Yep. Isn't that what Hebrews 10 says? Verse 18, I think it is. Let us not become weary. Oh, no. It says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that? Right there, it's on the wall. For where two or three gather in my name. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in agreement. There's power when two or three come together to pray, to seek Him. Amen? To call on the Lord. Wow. We can do a whole lot more together than we can by ourselves. And it's good to have a personal walk with the Lord, but how much more when we come together and we decide that we're going to receive God's vision and follow His way? You know, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain, right? He has to be building the house. Now, I love this one, and we shared this from Wednesday, but you guys get to hear it. 2 Chronicles 5, this is where it's talking about the completion of the temple, the temple that Solomon, you know, had built. And the first thing that had to happen is that the priests had to minister to the Lord. They had to first sanctify themselves, set themselves apart, and they went in to the newly built temple, and they worshiped at His holy footstool in that place. They ministered, and then they came out of that place, and when the priest came up out of the temple after they had sanctified themselves and worshiped the Lord, then there was a corporate worship. How many know that you and I are a priesthood in Jesus Christ? And we should be ministering to the Lord individually. We should have a relationship individually. And then there was verse 13, because that was verse 11. It says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. These people had set themselves apart for the service of the Lord. How many know that's what we're supposed to be doing? My life is to be set apart for Jesus now. And then there was corporate worship in verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Their hearts were united, you see. They were in one accord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. In verse 14, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. What took place? The manifest presence, the cloud, the glory of God filled that temple. They had an anointing. The priests had an anointing to serve in the house, in the temple. So they were anointed. But then the glory of God came and filled that place. And it was so intense that they could no longer do what they used to do. They could no longer do it the way they did it. All of a sudden, God shows up, and now what I was doing is no longer relevant, it's no longer important. We've got the Lord here on the scene. Do you understand? You and I can be anointed to serve the Lord, to witness, to pray for people, amen, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, raise the dead, all these things from in the anointing, and by faith in what God called us to do, amen, that He's going to come through in that. But then when the glory of God comes, it's a place where miracles happen freely. People are just, all of a sudden, I'm healed. Nobody laid hands on me. Nobody spoke a word to me. I'm healed because of the glory, the presence of God. In His presence, come on, somebody, there's healing. There's life. There's no sickness How many are hungry for more of Him? Are we willing to go the extra mile? I want to be a glutton for His presence, because there's joy in His presence. And His presence is what? Fullness. Fullness of joy. You're completed. You're like, you're done with the struggle and this. You know, I know what it's like to try to teach or preach, you know, without really having an anointing, or maybe just struggling with it, you know, sometimes. Trying to get it out. But then is a time when you're well oiled and the presence of the Lord is so rich and so strong upon you and around you that it's just like, I say it so often, but you're going from a handsaw to a power saw. That's the difference. And it's like, wow. There's very little. Isn't that what Jesus said? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, a lot of times we're taking on yokes and burdens that really are not God's. Amen? But in Him, it's not difficult. Because He supplies the grace, the ability to do what we couldn't do anyways. You understand that? What we're called to do is something we can't do anyways. It's not of us. It's beyond us. It's bigger than us. So that's why we need His presence. That's why we need to be a people of His presence. That's why we need to be abiding in His presence. That's why we need to be singing and worshiping and seeking the Lord. Because it's by His grace and by His ability that we can do what we're called to do. He calls us, but He also anoints us. Amen. And at times He sends refreshing upon His corporate body as they came together corporately with one heart, one mouth. Amen. And began to sing and praise the Lord with all the instruments. Oh, yes, lots of instruments. And I'm sure there were some happy campers that day. That the Spirit of the Lord, the glory of His presence, the Shekinah glory, the very manifest presence of God shows up. So the anointing, folks, is that which you can do, the works that you can do in His name. But then the glory is where no man works. It's the place of rest. It's the place where God is doing it. And we're just kind of like going, wow. You know what I'm talking about? There's been times we've just kind of say, we're just kind of watching God, and, you know, do some stuff. And it's like, that is the place I love to be. Amen. Where there's no struggle in that place. You're not stressed out about ministry. You know, I think, I say this a lot, but Jesus never burned out on ministry. He didn't get up in the morning and say, oh, here we go again. You know, He was always refreshed. Amen. In the Father. And Jesus, the reason why He didn't burn out is because He wasn't doing it in His own ability. He did the works as the Father showed Him. And what the Father is doing is where the ability is going to be. Where He told them to go, that's where the Father was going to be. Amen. What He told them to say, that's what, well, the Father was saying. So if He spoke what the Father was saying, it was the Lord working, the Holy Spirit working through Jesus to touch hearts. That's why He could say, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. You can hear a message, you can hear teaching, you can hear sermons that are so dry they have dust on them. You know, but if it's in God, if it's birthed in Him and out of your belly is flowing by the Spirit of God, these words, then there's refreshing, there's strength, there's encouragement. Amen. In that, there's edification, there's a building up that takes place. And sometimes to be built up means that you have to first destroy the old. The Word of God has a way of doing that. Toppling some of our idols in our hearts and preconceived ideas of how God is or what I should be doing for God. Somebody say amen. And the Lord shows up and He messes up your plans. He totally rearranges things. And I had been bent on doing this thing. And all of a sudden, guess what? I'm not doing that now. Even when I wanted to make it happen, He wouldn't let me do it. The steps of a righteous man or woman, let's add that in there, are ordered of the Lord. He will direct our path. So there was corporate worship. And then the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And so the key here was what? Worship. Corporate worship. The obedience of the ones that were called together to. And God, you know who put that in Solomon's heart? To build the temple? It was the Lord. So God's going to be where He told Him to be. And God was in that prayer too. That's an amazing prayer. If you have a chance, take a look at that. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us come, therefore come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace." How many know that you can be anointed and stressed out at the same time? But in the presence, in the glory, you're anointed and you're not stressed out. And there's a corporate blessing that's released when we're together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. That's where God commands the blessing. Amen. Of the oil, if you will, of His presence, of His Spirit to flow down and minister to the body, to bring refreshing, to bring health, to bring an expression, amen, of Himself through the body to the world around us. In the Old Testament, the anointing was to be upon the priests as they ministered in the temple. That's Exodus 30 and verse 30. But it was the glory of God that later came and filled the temple. We have to make a distinction here. So the glory is the manifest presence of the Lord, and the anointing is the grace God gives us for His service. In the anointing, God works with us as we move in faith. In the glory, God does not need us to work. No one has to necessarily lay hands on anyone or speak a word. Miracles just happen. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, what did she have to do with that? All she had to say is, "Let it be unto me according to your word." She agreed. She obeyed. She was willing. Said yes to the Lord. And Jesus, amen, was the result. God's glory came upon her. This was where God was doing it. And she wasn't working this. She didn't sleep with Joseph. She didn't have other men. Amen. The Bible says she was a virgin. She'd never known a man. And so when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, they were all in one accord in one place, seeking and waiting on the Lord. Amen. And then suddenly, oh God, I want some suddenlies. Amen. I love those suddenlies, and I want more suddenlies. I want suddenlies here. Thank you, Jesus. Let it come, Lord. Let it rain, God. Let it rain down from heaven. Israel, they were given strategies for war in the Old Testament, instructions, how to conduct their battles. And then God anointed certain people to lead them, such as Gideon, remember? It went down from 32,000 down to 300. And that's God said, that's all I need because I'm going to be in it. Remember at the Red Sea, Moses raised his rod and he said, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God himself delivered Israel. Amen. That wasn't an anointing that Moses had. It was God's manifest presence that showed up. Amen. And moved that water out of the way. Hallelujah. That's what we need to understand. Sometimes God is just telling us to stand still. Other times God is telling us to take whatever's in our hands and implement it. Use it. Amen. Whatever gift, whatever talent. Moses had a rod. Well, it was just a stick, right? Well, it was more of a stick when he was using it in obedience to the will of God. And he was willing to step out in faith. And he raised that rod. Stand still and see the salvation. And God moved that water. Amen. And brought those people through on dry land. Hallelujah. But God was doing the work. You get the difference between the anointing and the glory. The glory of God's presence led them in this cloud by day. Amen. In the fire by night. What did He do? He preserved them. He protected them. He provided for them. Their shoes and their feet didn't wear out the whole time. Why? Because they were being led by the glory, by the presence of the Lord. Whenever the cloud settled, they had to settle. Whenever the cloud lifted, they had to follow the cloud. Amen. This is the key. This is for us today. That's how we walk in the Spirit. And God is saying, settle down, settle down. When He says, get up and go, you get up and go. Problem is that sometimes we're getting up and going when God says, settle down and be refreshed. Get into the Word. Listen for my voice. I'll give you an instruction. Sometimes we're out there running around doing things for God and He hasn't told us to do. And that's where burnout comes in. Even in ministry. And sometimes, you know, people can put a lot of burdens on us, you know, as ministers and people that serve the Lord that maybe God hasn't put on. And sometimes you need to learn how to say no. I'm not feeling led to do that. Because we can be busy all the time and yet be burnt out, stressed out, if we're outside of the will of God. And yeah, some people will get upset with you. They think, oh, you're unloving and you're unkind. No, I'm just being wise. Right? We need to be wise. We need to listen to His voice and say, Lord, what do You say here? We've got to believe God's Word. We've got to hear it. We've got to read it. We've got to meditate in it. But we've got to believe it to be benefited by it. We've got to believe His promises. Because if we seek Him, we will find Him. Remember in Revelation 5:8, it talks about the bowls of incense before the throne. You know, there's a temple in heaven. Amen. The glassy sea. You know, the incense altar, which is the intercession of saints, people praying in the earth. And it comes up before the Father as sweet incense before His throne. And the Father delights in hearing from you and I. He delights when we want to talk with Him. Now, I didn't say just talk to Him, but talk with Him. He delights in that. And I believe, I mean, we've said this before, but man, those bowls, they get full. You know, and then it's like, okay, Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well-doing. In due season, what you have coming to you will be returned to you. You keep sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep loving, keep giving, keep sharing. Amen. And eventually, guess what? What you've sown is going to start coming back in a harvest. Amen. People are going to get saved, healed, delivered in your life. You're going to receive the blessing of God, the favor of God. Amen. And don't get weary. When things start to come in and start happening, don't quit praying and seeking the Lord. When things start going good, don't quit seeking the Lord. I got quiet, except for that one. I'm going to preach to you today. Do you understand? We have that tendency when things are smooth to slack off. Folks, we got to discipline. We got to tell this body, you know, to obey. You're just a vessel. And I'm going to take you and you're going to obey and you're going to intercede. You're going to pray. You're going to seek the Lord. You're going to get in the Word. You're going to do these things that are right, whether you feel like it or not, because the day comes when, you know, you're in the trial, you're in the fire. It's no time now to go back and say, God, what do I do now? He says, well, I had your lunch ready for you back there. And now you're halfway on the journey and you're starving to death. You didn't armor up and then you went anyways. And now you're getting knocked around. By faith in the blood of Jesus, we have access to our Father's throne. Therefore, brethren, Hebrews 10:19, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here's what we need to understand, folks. We're not coming in our own goodness. Don't come before God with this, God, I thank you that I'm such a good guy and such a faithful servant of yours. And certainly based upon that, you should listen to all my prayers. And I thank you that I'm not this guy over here, you know. Does that sound familiar, like the publican and the Pharisee? But sometimes, you know, we think that if I'm doing good, then God is happy and He got to listen to me. Or if I'm having a bad day, that God's mad and He's not going to listen. How many know that God wants you to talk to Him? He treasures that time that you take to speak to Him. And because God wants to give you revelation. God wants to give you instructions for life. God wants you to show you. He wants to reveal to you what His plan, what His will, His master plan is for your life. God doesn't want you to spend yourself just living a temporary existence, getting by, you know, on IV drip, if you will. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to be alive. He wants you to be overflowing cup. And He wants to give you instructions for your days so that your way will become prosperous. The Lord knows how to do that. A lot of the times, the reason why we're in the mess we're in is because we're not really listening and inquiring of the Lord. A lot of times, we're just more dependent on the government than hearing from God. Sometimes the government becomes people's gods. I'm not saying a good government should take care of the people that have a need. Amen. If they're disabled, those things, that's what a good government will do. But a good government will not enable laziness. If you've got able body, you're able to do something, get to work. That's what the Bible says, because that in itself is a spiritual act of worship. When we work and we work as unto the Lord receives that as worship. Singing, giving thanks, praise, obedience to the word. Amen? Working, serving as unto the Lord. All worship to Him, pleasing to the Father. Because He's looking at us and saying, now those are my kids. Check them out. Boy, they're harder workers than anybody else in that shop. Shop, yes. There's a lot of shops. Do you understand? We are representing Him, His honor. We live for His honor. So whatever we do, amen, we want to make sure that's going to be pleasing to the Lord. It's going to be glorifying to the Lord. Because out of gratitude for what He's done, we say, Lord, I owe You. I can't ever pay You back, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try to love You back. I'm going to try to put a smile on Your face. I want to live a life that pleases You. And yeah, how many say, I do want His favor? If a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, you'll have favor in your life. Not because we deserve it either, but because God wants to bless you. If you get right, then He also has pleasure in that. Amen? If you're listening to Him, obeying Him, He takes pleasure in that. Through worship, I'm almost through, heaven and earth meet. We seed heaven through praise, thanksgiving, prayers, intercession, and giving. Cornelius ministered to the Lord by giving alms to the poor, by helping people. Amen? By praying to God always. I'm sure he was praying and interceding for people. Amen? His prayers to God weren't all about, give me this, God. Give me that, God. He was praying and said, God, help brother so-and-so. Help sister so-and-so. That's what Jesus did. He didn't come, amen, to make it about himself. He came because he loved us. And we go in his name because we love people. Amen? We love people with the love of the Lord because the love of the Lord should be in our hearts. If he's in us, then that should be in us. We need to yield. We need to submit. We need to say, yes, Lord. And I've discovered that sometimes God calls us to love people that are not lovely, or even people that could be considered enemies of ours. Now, how can you love somebody that's an enemy of yours? Well, you can't do it in your own strength. But in the love of God, there's no fear. If we're filled with the love of God, then we just love. You can't help but love. You can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't fake love. Either you're in love or you're not. You meet somebody and you fall in love. You know? Sometimes we try to make somebody love us, right? It doesn't work. Either you're in love or you're not. Either we're in love with God or we're not. And if we're not in love with God, it means that we don't really know God. Folks, I'm just laying it out there. You cannot know Him who is love and not love Him. You can't command love under the law. You shall love the Lord your God, right? But in grace, you can know love and you can love God. And when you love God, you will love people who were made in His image. That's the true test of love. Amen? And this is the most important thing of all, is that we love one another. That is the new commandment that Jesus gave us. And that's as a result of a heart that worships, a heart that is intimate, a heart that pursues, that seeks God, that seeks His will to hear His voice, a heart that pursues the wisdom and the direction of God daily, a heart that says, I want to know where You're at today, Lord, because that's where I'm going to be. I want to know what You're doing today because that's what I'm going to be doing. And the Lord says, yeah, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Enter into the joy of the Lord, My faithful servant. Well done. You had every opportunity to do your own thing, but You chose Me. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. Wow. Thank You, Jesus. God, deliver us from ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13, and You will seek Me and find Me when you search for me with all your heart. Let's do that. Let's search for the Lord. Let's seek the Lord with all of our heart. Father, thank you for the message today. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for the grace and the mercy you've shown us this day. Thank you for the times of refreshing in your presence. But now, Lord, we know that we are entering into the mission field. And we ask you to guide and direct our steps, that we will express your heart accurately, authentically in this world. God, that we will not try to make happen anything, but Lord, that as we walk with you, your Spirit will motivate us and our hearts will be changed, and we will desire what you desire, and we will do what you do. So change my heart. Let's sing that together. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. In your presence, Lord, is where I always want to be. Abiding in you, and you in me. Let your perfect will, Lord, be accomplished in every one of us. O God, cover us. Clothe us in your righteousness. Make us holy. Preserve us, Lord, under your heavenly kingdom. Make us beautiful for you. Lord Jesus, create in us that clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within us, God. We want to be people after your heart that pursue you, that seek you, that hear from you, that obey you, and delight in doing your will even. God, I pray that you'd birth visions in hearts today, God, as to what we're called to, that all of us will be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen.